I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. On this week's episode, after seeing the home opener, I have Vivek, Big V, joining me in studio as we keep an eye on the Inter-Dortmund game. How you doing, man?
I can switch it to the Liverpool game if you prefer.
I just want to see the goals. That's going to be a win. Hopefully, actually.
All right. We can switch over. But yeah, man, we're on that championship energy.
Yeah, well, I am. I mean, you know, you're free. Oh, look, we're already up 1-0. That's good. Yeah, so we're in a good mood, clearly, because the Raptors played their home opener finally. I felt like, honestly, just, you know, before we get into the game itself, I've been dying to see, like, actual meaningful basketball.
Yeah.
Because we've just been previewing and thinking about what might happen and making predictions. And
being like, we've been previewing the season for 3 months.
No, seriously, man. Thinking about who should get traded. I'm like, I don't even know what these guys look like right now. So it was nice just for our own sanity to see the game unfold. And yeah, I mean, holy shit. You know, there obviously was always going to be a lot of things going on ring night. But
yeah,
just an incredible atmosphere. And again, before we talk about the actual game itself, How was your experience of the ring ceremony and things like this?
I thought it was really cool for them to replay the highlights of the entire playoff run. And because, you know, a lot of those big moments actually happened on the road.
That's right.
And so you almost, for the fans, for the players, you know, they finally actually kind of get to experience it together. And then you hear those big cheers when Kawhi's bounce shot goes in, when Fred's big shot at Oakland goes in, and then he lets out that primal scream. I mean, those were the big ones for me that stood out. So to have that moment was nice. And then for the players to be hyped as they're getting their rings, for Alex McKechnie to get a huge cheer.
Yo, shout out Alex.
Mr. Load Management, huge role in the championship run. So and then Masai getting MVP chance.
Yes, yes.
That was amazing. So, yeah, I think this was, again, for me, this whole thing has been about validation of all the time that Raptors fans have put in, the hardcore fans, you know, sticking through the tough times. And you finally have this title that no one can ever take away. That banner that got unveiled is going to hang in the Raptors forever.
Yep. Yeah. And it's a great looking banner.
It is a great looking
banner. I keep saying this, man, but it is an amazing. It's really funny how all the colors of the championship really just fit in the, like, actual Raptors like color scheme.
Yeah,
because it's like gold, it's black, it's red, it's white. It looks amazing. I also, you know, just on a personal level, I'm so happy to not see those Atlantic Division banners anymore. Like, past that as a franchise. We're past that.
I actually like having just the one.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
With all of them, like all the times that they've won it. So,
because they kind of stopped hanging them, right? Because they won it in 2017-18, the year they had 59 wins, but they didn't hang a new banner.
Yeah.
Because they're like, look, realistically, you know, this doesn't mean much to us anymore. Exactly. We're past that point.
Exactly. So now you've got.
Also, I don't want to see that 2014-2015 season remembered in any other way, because that was not a fun year.
No. So you've got that Atlantic Division banner now with all the times they've won it. You've got the Eastern Conference champion banner, and you've got the NBA title.
Oh, man.
Banner.
Oh, man.
Yeah, what a time.
Bro, listen.
Will, you can never get mad at a game anymore. All you have to do is look
at the banner. I got pretty mad at JJ Redick flopping yesterday.
And Norm taking the three.
No, but honestly, it was one of those things where I was like, oh, man, this game is annoying. Well, not this game's annoying. There was just a couple annoying moments. And then I would look up, like, you know, from the media row, and we're, like, right in line with the banner because we're, like, in the ceiling, basically. And I was like, yeah, it's not so bad, you know? Yeah. It could be a lot worse. It could be one of those many franchises without a title. So, yeah, I mean, I thought Ring Night was just, like, you know, as you mentioned, like, the fact that we got one last chance to sort of celebrate that championship. And, yeah, we can kind of move on after that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's always going to be treasured in our hearts, but, you know, we can sort of focus on what the season ahead has in store because just based on yesterday, you know, there's a lot of exciting things to look for. Well, great play by Van Dijk, man. Anyway.
I mean, hey, I'm here for Van Dijk love. I can appreciate it. As a Dutch fan.
Yeah. Listen.
I can rock with it.
He is amazing. But, yeah, it was just, like you mentioned, man, those moments on the road, like, those are the things I wish I was back in Toronto for. Because, you know, I'm not going to complain at all. Like, I was at all the playoff games, and, you know, I would never trade that for anything. But at the same time, there were a lot of times I was like, well, man, I wish I was in a stadium, like, full of Raptors fans instead of just, you know, like, 20% full of Raptors
fans.
Right,
right, right.
And share those moments. And so, for me personally, to be back in the arena to see some of those moments go down, it was amazing. And when Masai came out and he got announced and the MVP champ broke out organically and things like this, and, you know, put the huge, huge, huge ring on his hand, and he put one fist in the air. Like, I really did shed a tear. I was like, I'm just so happy for this man because, you know, he represents so much more than just even the Raptors itself. Like, he really built this entire legacy. You know, it feels like we're just so blessed to have Masai in the first place. And all the, top six seasons in franchise history have come under Masai. It's actually nuts.
Masai and, yeah, represents everything that Raptors fans have always wanted to be, but have never necessarily truly believed.
Yeah.
But he brought that belief.
That's a great way to put it, man. Oh, what a strike by the Ox. All right. This is also a Liverpool reaction podcast. I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
Yeah, amazing moment, man. All the players cheesing.
Yeah.
Holding their face with a ring in their hand.
Norm with the choreographed dance.
Oh, man.
Surge bringing it.
Jamal McGlure raising the roof
on
behalf of Scarborough. Jamal
doing it for everyone.
It would be fitting that Jamal McGlure did a...
doing it for the West Indies.
A 1990s level move with the raising the roof. But, yo, amazing celebration. And then the game itself. So, obviously, the Raptors, you know, got off to a point where it was actually... You could see it coming. Like, the short turnaround from getting rings and then, like, 15 minutes later playing a competitive basketball game... It's too short. I don't think anyone sort of emotionally is able to sort of process all that.
Yeah.
And for the Raptors, like, they fell down to a 15-4, you know, hole immediately. Nick Nurse had to call timeout. They had to sort of reset and sort of play from behind. Game of runs, but obviously the two guys that stood out the most were Fred and Pascal. Let's start with Pascal first. Man, is this what we're going to see all year?
I mean, what's crazy to me is... He didn't play well in the first half.
No. But he had like 18 points and like 10 rebounds.
It's like, I'm looking up, it's like, all right, this man almost has 20 and 10, and he's not playing well.
It's only halftime.
And, yeah, so that's the thing. If this is what you get used to seeing, if this is what it's like unleashed and, you know, with his usage up and the offense revolving around him, I mean... The fans, from an entertainment perspective, are going to get full value for 82 games.
Definitely.
So, you know, there's a lot to look forward to there. I love the leash that Nurse is extending him. You know, even after the game, Nurse talked about how, you know, maybe some of those post-ups with the fadeaways didn't look so good. But he made it clear that, hey, that's something that Pascal needs to add to his game. So he's okay with him doing those things.
Oh, for sure.
And as a player, you need to know that your coach has that comfort with you trying out those things and trying to expand your game. And that is how Pascal can continue to grow and continue to get to the level that the franchise hopes he can get to, which is, you know, a top-tier superstar.
Right. Right. And, you know, to your point, I've been watching very closely, too, in terms of this Liverpool match, but also, like, Pascal's development. Yeah, like, I really do want to see him bust out the moves that, you know, he keeps working on practice. Like, every time we go to the gym at practice or whatever, doors open, and we see Pascal's there working with the trainer,
yep.
and all he's working on are pull-up threes, come off the high screen, pull-up threes, yep. catch-and-shoot threes. And then the one-on-one moves from the post where he's either going to drive to the basket or he's going to the mid-range shot.
Yeah.
And I want to see him take that mid-range shot just because I want to know it's real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think he took many of them in preseason whatsoever. We saw one of them from yesterday where I think he had Drew Holiday on a switch, or either Holiday or Lonzo, but one of the Pelicans point guards. And, you know, he did go to that mid-range shot. It was a little short, whatever. Obviously, one shot is not a big sample, you know, not meaningful whatsoever. But, you know, I like to see the instances in which he uses it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Is it against big men? Is it against smaller guys? Like, I want to see when he feels comfortable with it. But overall, I mean, just the hustle and energy and athleticism he brought to the game was incredible, especially in the fourth quarter there. Like, the Raptors were down. A couple of unfortunate calls went against them. You know, the Pelicans hit a bunch of threes. Like, they just couldn't miss. And, you know, Pascal just time after time, he stepped into and he just scored. Like, you know, he hit the wing three. You know, so many times he would just flash on the lane and just score the and one over Jahlil Okafor. Like, I mean.
Yeah, I think.
He's damn good.
With him also, you know, the thing I really love watching about him is whether he's struggling, whether he's playing well, it's all about making winning plays with him. So
yep.
when you're seeing him miss the jumpers early, he's going and getting his own miss and he's putting it back in. And on the defensive end, he's putting in the effort in. And, he's, you know, tapping loose balls away and creating mm-hmm. Transition opportunities.
Yeah.
And then late in games, you know, again, this is a big thing that you want from someone who you want to be the man or the guy, is showing absolutely no fear. And you think about a couple plays, you know, the one that you mentioned, the N1 gets them within one.
Yep.
And then he gets, he sort of dives to the bucket and gets the dish from Kyle and gives the Raptors the lead.
Yep.
Unfortunately, ends up fouling out.
The last two foul calls were bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like one, Kenrich Williams, like, he Pascal's goes in the corner. Williams kicks his leg out pretty clearly.
Yeah.
Kicks his leg out and draws three free throws. That's the fifth foul. Just a huge momentum play. Like, that's just unfortunate. And he hits three free throws, too.
Yeah.
And then the sixth foul, I mean, just come on, man. Redick, man, please. Respect yourself. Just don't do that.
But that's going to be part of the process, too, right? Like, just, you know, those growing pains.
Yeah.
And, you know, he owned up to it. He's like, my bad.
Yeah.
I got to do better next time. And those are things you'd love to see. Just taking ownership of those moments.
Yeah, shout out to our guy Harrison Sanford, by the way. You know, Danny doing it up big in LA. But yeah, Harrison made a good point on Twitter, which was like, you know, it's one of the many lessons Pascal's got to learn as a max player, is you can never put yourself in a position to foul out of a game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at LeBron. This man never fouls out. Now, part of it nowadays is because LeBron doesn't play defense anymore. But, you know, the other part of it is that, like, you're that important to the team's offense. You can, like, it's not like you're going to dial back your defense, because that's such a big part of Pascal's game as well.
I mean, LeBron's also that important to the league's content.
Oh, okay. Wow. What are you trying to say? What are you trying to say? LeBron gets special calls? You're telling me Bismack had a clean block on LeBron in the Eastern Conference Finals that was called a blocking foul? Anyway, yeah, I mean, like, it's just something Pascal's got to learn. You know what I mean? And Pascal talked about it in the soft game. He didn't really go at the referee as he really could have, because the two calls that fouled him out were both terrible. But, yeah, I mean, you know, he understands what he's got to do. And I love the maturity. I love the poise. Like, at no point was he phased, as you mentioned. And, yeah, I just can't wait, man. He's going to have a monster season. The playmaking, too, the five assists, I thought that was really important, just because if you're going to have that many touches, you got to create something for other teammates. And the one play that really stood out was Pascal gets the ball on the block. He draws a double team. You know, OG makes a great cut down the middle of the lane. Pascal finds him. OG, you know, finishes through contact, two-handed dunk. You know, just a great, great sequence and a sign of what's to come in the future.
And the rebounding. Rebounding is going to be so important for this team. Because Mark, I don't think at this stage is someone you look to. As someone that's going to be a huge rebounder for this team, OG has historically not been good on the glass. He was better last night.
Yeah. He needs to keep doing that.
And then especially if you're going to rock with this smaller backcourt with Fred and Kyle, they're going to need all the boards that they can get out of Pascal.
Yeah.
So for him to go out there and get 18, that's a big win too.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, people have made the Giannis comparisons. Like, I don't know, 34, 18, and 5 is a very Giannis line. Just say that much, you know what I mean? So, obviously, yeah, Pascal, full score from the game. You know, obviously, Fred being the other guy that, you know, to be honest, Fred might even played even better than Pascal, only in the sense that, A, he was more efficient, like, but also in terms of just, like, the poise in which he finished these shots. Like, you were asking me earlier in the office, like, yo, how is he getting to the lane and then finishing like this? Because previously he had this whole reputation of getting blocked a lot. Like, it was just a huge ten, especially in the Sixers series. He got blocked more times. He literally, it's not even a made-up stat, he had been blocked more in the Sixers series than he had field goals, made field goals in the whole series.
Wow. And
yeah, I mean, my answer to that is I just think he's definitely healthier than he was before, and hopefully that ankle thing doesn't bother him too much after he crashed into the cameraman. But I just think that, like, yeah, I mean, he definitely just looks a lot healthier, and his first step was a lot better. Like, he's getting into the lane, and he's, you know, got the advantage over his guy in the sense that, like, yeah, he's going to be small, but, you know, he needs at least a little bit of quickness to sort of get ahead of the man, and then you can use your little change of speed. You can sort of use your off arm to get, you know, the little angle to shoot the ball. And yeah, it was just very impressive yesterday.
The one thing I think, watching back a little bit, is I also feel like he's using his forward and back a bit more.
Okay.
I think last year was a lot of side to side,
yeah,
and then he couldn't really shake people, or with their, you know, lateral quickness, they were able to keep up with him. But now going, you know, forward and back, I think that's opening up a little bit more room to him for him to get ahead and then get to the rack.
Yeah, for sure, for sure, and the confidence on another level too.
I mean, yeah.
Like, one of the signs I saw in the first quarter that really stood out to me was he had Jrue Holiday trying to press up on him, and Jrue Holiday is an amazing, amazing defender. Like, he just, recall his playoff series against Damian Lillard, and, like, he turned Damian Lillard into, like, playoff DeMar. Like,
I mean, that was crazy.
It was nuts how much he was just, like, physically overwhelming him.
Yeah.
And Fred's, you know, smaller than Dame. And, you know, first quarter, Jrue Holiday was trying to press up and try to bully Fred. Fred just, like, you know, just took him on, drove hard at him, you know, like, crossed over a couple times and, you know, got the foul call, and Jrue Holiday had to sort of back off after getting that second foul. But yeah, I mean, you know, I love the confidence from Fred. I really, really love it. The 3-point shot, obviously, is incredible. And, yeah, and it's, you know, he's just poised for a huge season. Like, I already made a prediction that, you know, Fred's going to outscore Kyle Lowry this season. I mean, if I really wanted to make the prediction I wanted to make, I would have made that Fred was going to be better than Kyle this season, which is saying a lot. Like, Kyle was still really, really good.
Yeah.
And I still don't fully believe that with my heart, because I know how much Kyle does, you know, in other aspects of the game. But
yeah,
Fred looks incredible, man.
He does, and you bring up the shooting. Like, if there was one guy last season where if he was ever open and I was just automatically assuming the shot was going down, it was Danny Green.
Yeah, yeah. Regular season Danny Green.
Regular season Danny.
Shout out Danny yesterday, 28 points.
Or, you know, game 3 of the finals?
Yeah, 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 on the road, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, game 3 Danny too.
Yeah.
That was the one guy that really stood out, right? Over the course of the season. And so now, if Fred playing that same two guard position, if he can provide that level of volume and efficiency from the three, that's a huge get for the Raptors. That, because let's face it, what Kawhi and Danny, you know, forget about, you know, the leadership and the talent and all that. The 3-point shooting is obviously something that looks like a bit of a weakness for the Raptors relative to last year.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So if they can get that out of Fred on a consistent basis,
yeah,
and I'm not saying 5 for 7 every night, but,
hey man, he's gone 5 for 7 a lot of nights in a row. Man, going back to the finals too, you know,
Fred Sr. But yeah, I think that's a big thing for the Raptors. If they can get that kind of volume and efficiency from Van Vliet that they got from Danny Green last year,
yeah,
it fixes a lot of problems.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And you know, him starting at the two guard spot, do you like that look? Or would you, you know, rather see something more traditional like Norm? Oh my God, that back! Are you, oh, you got to finish that! Wow, yo, you got to see that assist, man. I'm sorry. Oh my God, Firmino, man, this guy's a magician. Yeah, do you like the alignment with Fred as the starting two guard?
I mean, obviously, I do.
You can't argue with the results yesterday.
Yeah, no, I do depending on the matchup. Okay, right? So.
But, I mean, wouldn't yesterday be an example of a matchup where you wouldn't go to the two-point guard lineup? Because you got Holiday, who's a big point guard, and you got Lonzo, who's a very, very big point. Look at this. Look at that assist.
Well, damn.
A Panenka chip.
Mane's got to do better, man.
Yeah, he had a man all over him. But, yo, look at that, man. Mm. Whew. That's so nice, man. Anyway.
With the spin.
Welcome to the Liverpool Reaction Podcast. Your host, James Pierce.
Oh, yo, shit. I can't be a part of this. Oh.
Wow.
1-1.
It's now 1-1.
Crazy.
Out of nowhere.
But yeah, we were talking about
the in terms of certain matchups for
two-point
guards.
I think it's something I definitely wouldn't go to against Philly, for example.
Okay. Good point.
When you look at the size that they present, I think that's a really difficult matchup for Fred. I mean, we saw that in the playoffs that, you know, size was an issue for him to deal with. Yeah. So it's not a look for Philly. I mean, if Boston's playing Gordon Hayward and Tatum and Brown, again, I think that's a bit of an issue as well. Yeah. It isn't.
I want to see Gordon Hayward actually take a game seriously first.
I mean,
play a game seriously and not be Chandler Parsons.
So the one positive, you know, is that some of these guys get tricked into thinking they can post Fred and Kyle up.
Because I saw Brandon Ingram did that.
Yeah. Right? And it just does not work out.
No,
so if you can sort of goad those guys to take Kyle and Fred in the post, then, you know, you can sort of ride it.
Yeah, that's true. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm playing the Celtics and my concern is Tatum might take a turnaround too, I'm like, nah, I don't know. That's not a concern. That's
right.
That's a positive, really.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
So I do think it is still matchup dependent. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I think on some level, you also want to see what Norm can give you.
Right.
In favorable matchups for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? For sure.
Because I think if you take away his confidence this early where it's like, okay, Fred's the two guard now.
Yeah.
It's like, all right. I couldn't get past Damari Carroll. I couldn't.
Oh, God. Well, that says it all right there.
You guys gave me 10 games and then just gave the job to OG, who deserved it.
OG earned it, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And now, you know, he was probably thinking coming. I mean, he said at training camp his goal was to be the starting two guard. So now if he were to lose this, I could see it being a bit discouraging. But at the end of the day, if Fred is going to keep dropping 30, there's nothing really you can do.
Norm
is going to take a 35-foot fadeaway.
Oh, God.
To end the game, to end a tie game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's another area of concern, right? Like, you know, how are you going to generate crunch time offense? I'm not even necessarily saying the Raptors can't do it, but I just don't know who's the obvious candidate for it.
Right.
Like, obviously Pascal is your best scorer.
And I think that's
Fred is clutch as shit, but like, so you might be just run something between those two guys.
Right. But I think that's part of why, even though Gasol was struggling, that he was on the floor late because with Siakam out of the game, you just needed that extra playmaker.
That's true. And he worked a beautiful set with Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet to basically ice the game.
Right.
Where, you know, Kyle and Fred sort of went into the corner, did a little, back screening and things like this. So they forced a switch so that Kyle can get Redick on him. Then Kyle came immediately, popped up and worked a pick and roll with Marcus Gasol. The Pelicans were trapping all game. They knew that. So they drew the trap. They drew two defenders to Kyle. Kyle immediately switched it back out to Mark, who, you know, forces the rotation, but it's a 2-1 at that point. Mark then throws a perfect bounce pass to Fred in the corner, and Fred switches to 3, and the game's over. And, you know, that's exactly what you're talking about. Like, yeah, that's the kind of play that I'm not sure Pascal can do as consistently as someone like Mark right now.
Right. Well, I mean, Serge had 5 guys on him and still went up with it.
Yeah, that's Serge Ibaka, man. That's championship swagger. The man took a coast to coast for a dunk. By the way, that goal was ruled out by VAR.
Wow.
Yeah, big break for Liverpool there. I didn't really see a foul or offside on that play, but, you know, it is what it is.
It's just living that championship life, eh?
Oh, that is a flop and a half by Navigator right there. Jeez. But, yeah, in the crunch time offense, it, you know, like we saw a little bit, yesterday in the sense that we saw a lot of Pascal running. Well, first off, we saw a lot of Pascal running pick and roll overall.
Like, yeah.
A lot of, you know, four or five pick and roll there. Yeah. And I think that's a very effective look. I think on a night where the bigs are a little bit better, like that, Pascal could be a guy who could get like an 8 assist game if Serge can hit some mid-range shots. Or right. Mark, you know, it isn't Chuck Hayes. yeah, man, Mark put up a Chuck Hayes yesterday. It's facts are facts.
While we're on the subject of playmaking.
Like, he also ran a bunch of like pick and rolls with OG, and I don't think those went anywhere. I don't really understand that one.
Yeah,
maybe it was just to attack the mismatch with Redick. I think Redick was guarding OG, but
yeah, exactly.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, and you know, I think there's been situations where OG has had the opportunity where he gets the mismatch and he can take them at least into the post.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
maybe you know, not even go up himself if he's able to just facilitate from there.
Sure,
I think that's a big step that he could take in his game.
Mm.
Now, whether Nurse is willing to test out that possibility remains to be seen. But when you're running, like you said, those 3-4 pick and rolls, then that is something you have to consider. And that's maybe something that you want to put in OG's ear in terms of opportunities for him to grow. On the subject of playmaking, I just wanted to touch on Norm because I thought he showed some encouraging signs. You know, there were a couple of really nice drives that he had where he was able to make the kick out that you wouldn't usually expect. There were a couple of times where even, you know, nothing necessarily came of it, but he at least understood that he needed to slow down. Whereas, you know, the last couple of years, that probably would have been a charge.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So, you know, I think.
You don't want to praise Norm too much. I can understand your hesitation because you're just envisioning that last second shot. Right. Yeah. It's okay. I understand. No, I thought Norman actually was decent off the bench. Like, yeah, his scoring wasn't totally there and his main role scoring, but, like, defensively I thought he was pretty solid, too. Like, he had a couple possessions in overtime where he had to sub in for Pascal, who had fouled out, and I thought Norm did a great job on Brandon Ingram, who was a leading scorer. So, you know, good on Norm, but...
Firmino's touch is so nice.
Oh, man, he's just a magician. God. He just doesn't score. It's okay. It's what people say Giroud does. Yeah, I mean, the other guys, I don't know. I'm not as certain about. Like, we can talk about OG. I thought he was probably the third most encouraging guy there. And, of course, those three being super young and contributing the way they are is amazing. And those guys are all expected. You know, Pascal, Fred, and OG are expected to take expanded roles. And I thought OG yesterday played close to a perfect game in terms of what I want out of him because I thought he was the Raptors' best defender. Oh, man, how did he not put that in the net? Come on, Mo. Damn, this was like a wide open header.
First game back.
It's a sitter. This is what they call a sitter. Yeah, I mean, you know, you need those three guys to sort of take on expanded roles. And OG, I think. And you know, it's not a perfect game in the sense that, you know, it's not like he hit like 5 threes or something, right? But, you know, at the same time, like, he was just so.
He took the right looks, though.
Exactly. He makes all the right decisions on there. And he's getting a lot smarter, too. Like, I think he's making better. Reads in terms of as a help defender. I mean, that's something that, you know, even as a rookie sort of showed in terms of just like helping in the post and digging down and stuff like that. But he made a couple of plays just at the rim where, you know, he took a charge at some point in the third quarter and, you know, he blocked a shot late in the fourth quarter as well. And obviously he had that great stop against Holiday. Like, that's what you need. That's exactly what you need out of OG. Like, you need a guy in the starting lineup who can handle those bigger players, get, you know, make the load a little bit lighter on Kyle and Fred, who can, of course, defend on a mismatch, but it's so exhausting for you, for a smaller guy to have to wrestle like that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, OG was great, man. I'm really encouraged by OG.
Yeah, and you sort of talk about load management. There's in-game load management too, right? Where you're taking the pressure off of Pascal Siakam by having OG defend the opposing team's best player. You're taking a little off Kyle Lowry when OG can go and defend a point guard and you know, sort of present that size and strength and take away anything that might be an advantage against Lowry. And so I think with those advantages that he has, you know, coming into the league, he always stood out as someone that had really good defensive instincts.
Yeah.
But I felt offensively he looked more like an athlete who played basketball as opposed to a basketball player.
That's a good point. That's a good way to describe it, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think now maybe hopefully with a consistent role as a starter, and, you know, a couple of years in the league now, that he can grow into just more, more of a sort of polished role player offensively.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, that, and that's the thing. Like, we're not, I don't expect him, at least this season in particular, I don't expect him to be some sort of like have a Paul George kind of leap, which is somewhat, I think some very, very hopeful people thought was possible from OG as a rookie. But yeah, I mean, like, this is what I would want to see from him all season. Like, can you be like a premium Trevor Ariza? Can you be a PJ Tucker type?
Yeah,
PJ Tucker absolutely. Who can finish around the basket. Like, okay, so PJ is already a really good 3-point shooter, obviously a great defender. Very smart player, pretty good rebounder as well. If PJ could actually finish around the basket instead of just being 6'4" with no hops, then, like, yeah, he'd be really, really, really valued, and even more than he is right now. And that's that's what the potential OG has. So I loved it from those guys. The guys I was a little bit more concerned about in terms of just taking a first look at were, well, with Kyle, like, I'm not as concerned with Kyle just because he finds a way. And I thought yesterday he found a way, like 13 free throws. When was the last time Kyle took 13 free throw attempts in a game?
I can't remember.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But yeah, with Kyle, I think
he finds also, a way, but like the jumper looks off, man. He had some hard bricks.
Yeah. But you also wonder how much of that is timing, right? Like he made a perfectly fair point that this is his second game since June 13th.
Yeah.
Right. So, pretty cool that he's got that date etched in his memory.
Hey man, we all got that date etched in our memories.
So, so yeah, I'm
surprised he can remember it all together.
I think he's going to sort of play himself into form. Mm-hmm. I think the things that you wanted to see from Kyle, you saw, right? You saw Bingo Lowry. You saw him pick up a charge. You saw him make those Eddie plays offensively. You know, that play where he finds
Fred. Take a tech for arguing with the referee.
Yeah, you saw him make that read to find Fred in the corner for that huge three to tie the game.
Yep. Great play, great call by Nick Nurse to run a hammer play there.
Yeah,
to get the three to tie.
Yeah, and so I think those are the things I'm more encouraged by, because when you think about longevity with Kyle, it's all about what's in between the ears with him.
Yeah, definitely.
And so he's always going to be able to bring that to the table, and I don't think he's going to have any issues taking a back seat to Fred and Pascal.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the plays that stood out was, you know, after Freddie hit that three to sort of ice the game, you know, Kyle was pointing right at Fred and telling the crowd to, like, yo, I mean, I don't think the crowd needed any instruction to cheer for Fred after that huge night he had and that huge shot he hit. But, you know, it's just, that's Kyle's nature. Like, you know, he's set. He understands that, yeah, he's got his money. He's got his legacy set in stone. Like, he doesn't have to worry about any of that stuff. And it's for him, it's just like, can I see my other guy shine, my young guy shine. And Fred obviously is, you know, a Kyle Lowry protege, or like right down to the fact that he's so good at the post defense now against the bigger guys. Like, Fred is just absorbing people's powers. Like, he took Steph's powers, he took Kyle's powers. He honestly, with the finishes and the layups he was hitting yesterday, it looked like he took Kyrie's powers from preseason. So, like, it's like a Majin Buu situation. You know, he's just adding everyone's abilities on the one way, and he's just gonna be the best point guard ever. Yeah, I mean, Kyle, I'm not as worried about it. I just think the three-point shot needs to be there consistently for him.
Right.
And I think, yeah, the timing is obviously needs to be there. The conditioning, yeah, not 100%, but he kind of admitted himself that he's not 100%.
I mean,
he kind of looks like a wonton.
What does that say about Nurse's level of trust in the other guys, that he's willing to run Kyle out there for 45 minutes?
So it's like, Kyle, honestly, these 45 minutes are just for your own conditioning, man. yeah, right. The guy I'm more concerned about with Mark. And I'm, again, like I said earlier, it was kind of a Chuck Hayes performance, to be honest. But to me, it just looked like a guy who's exhausted. He's tired. He can't really jump. He can't really move. I mean, even last year,
he had a lot of beers this summer, man. A lot of beer, a lot of wine.
Beer poppy, wine poppy. Like, I don't know, man. He looks grand poppy right now. I'm just saying, man. He looks old. He looked old. That's all. And something I noticed in the Nets game too, I'm like, yo, between him and DeAndre Jordan, like, it's just like, I don't know, man.
I think, but the thing is, I think
they were not moving.
With someone like Mark at this stage of his career, I almost feel like he's gonna need to get to a point where it's like, okay, this game, like, legitimately matters.
Otherwise, he's just gonna mail it in. Come on, man.
No, I'm not gonna say mail it in, but it's just load management, and I think right now he knows that
that's old management. Actually,
man, you're just bringing out the hits.
I feel like slandering Mark for no reason. I love Mark.
I think he just understands that 82 games plus potentially another 3 months after that is a grind.
Yeah,
and so I think he recognizes that there's plenty of talent around him. And especially when you've got a guy like Serge backing you up, that maybe, you don't have to be in peak condition and you have the time to sort of work your way back. And so I think that's something that he's going to do. And, whether it's November that we start to see him at his best or December, maybe let's see when those games come that really get your juices flowing, right? I mean, obviously you're up for the ceremony and whatnot.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know if you're necessarily up for the Pelicans without Zion.
Man, if they had Zion in that game, I don't know, man. Pelicans looked pretty nice.
Yeah, yeah.
It would really have been hard to guard up that whole team.
It would have been interesting for sure.
Yeah.
And you know what? That would have been an interesting test for Mark because...
Oh, man, to go up against Zion? The most athletic big versus the least athletic big in the league?
But that's what Gentry's been doing in the preseason, right? He's been matching up Zion with centers.
Zion was finishing over, Rudy Gobert and stuff.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's wild. Hopefully his knees are okay.
So that would have been interesting to see. But, yeah, I'm definitely not saying he's mailing it in by any means, but I think he understands the grind of 82 games, and he understands that he's had a very long 12 months of basketball.
Yeah,
and that he's just going to prioritize his body over the first month or maybe more of the season.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm fine with that. Like, it's totally understandable. Like, it's normal. But if this is the case, shouldn't Serge close games instead of Mark? Because yesterday, when I was watching the fourth quarter, I was just thinking, first off, why is Norm playing so deep into the fourth quarter when I need OG out there?
Yeah.
And then B, why is Mark playing so many more minutes than Serge? It's not like Serge had a great game. Serge can definitely play a lot better than this. But at the same time, wow, man, Firmino, great play. At the same time, I'm just if this is what Mark's giving you, Serge needs to be in there instead. Serge can do a lot of things. He's definitely still fresh. He's definitely still healthy. And he's still
hungry.
He's very hungry. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, actually, quick sidebar. What do you think of the KD, Serge Ibaka, How Hungry Are You episode?
I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
I thought it was very enjoyable. Yeah.
I love the
banter over, who would have won the finals, if this and if that.
Yeah.
And then, obviously things got a little personal with talking about
Kerry Hilson.
Yeah,
that was unexpected, man. The tables got flipped on Serge.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that topic got changed real quick.
Yeah.
But
KD said, I was just joking about the Raptors fans, man. He understood the deal. I think he knows too.
Would you make of KD's comments about Nick Nurse and that?
What do you say about Nick Nurse again?
He said that you guys have a coach that doesn't necessarily have the best X's and O's, but he knows where to go and what to do to win a possession.
I guess that's the whole point of coaching, right?
Yeah.
It's not really about drawing up the prettiest play. It's about what makes it work. You know what I mean? Like the Kawhi dagger, it's not the prettiest play. It's this pretty simple inbound play. You got Kawhi going to his, preferred side.
Yep. It's a play that he drew up many times over the regular season.
It worked. And that's the thing with Nick is that's really interesting because I think his reputation before was so much that he had to control the offense, and that was his role under Dwayne Casey was to sort of manage the offense because Dwayne Casey had to just pound the rock offense. But we got to talk about Dwayne after this.
Went from pound the rock to let it rip.
It's like an anime show over here, man. But, yeah, I mean, Nick obviously had the reputation as being an offensive coach and sort of this mad scientist. But I honestly think that, he actually scored that?
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Fabinho is wild.
Yeah, he's really improved, man. Fabinho is like the Pascal of this team.
Yeah.
He's really two-way player.
I mean, I still don't know why he's trying to kill Daniel James.
Oh man, yeah. I apologize for that, but I have respect Daniel James like a million times more than after yesterday. And you know, I was already a fan of Daniel James in the first place, but man, we really put the hit on him, man. Like, he looked like he died after Van Dijk collided with him. He looked like he died. He just laid there like a little child, like gasping for air. And I was like, "Yo, is he okay? This game's not that serious." So. Anyway, yeah. I mean, in terms of the Nick Nurse comments, I actually think what Nick has really shown in the last couple of months is that he's actually more creative, I would say, defensively than he is creative offensively.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think he's a good offensive coach. Definitely has the right principles, you know, like the Raptors share the ball. Like yesterday I saw a stat that came out that really took me by surprise was that the Raptors only took 4 mid-range shots all game.
Mm.
Everything else was in the paint and from 3. And I think, you know, he really preaches about
and I think all the mid-range shots were Serge.
All of them were Serge, which is Serge is allowed to take that shot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think Nick Nurse is a good offensive coach, but I think, yeah, in terms of defensively, he's also extremely creative on that end. And, yeah. But overall, honestly, if just going back to the how hungry are you thing, like, I came away from that thing a much bigger fan of KD. Right. I liked his personality. I liked that, you know, he's a bit of an asshole about the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, all the great players are assholes. Like, literally all great athletes are assholes. Except for maybe Steph. And he's also kind of dickish in his own way.
You mean with the dancing?
With the dancing, with the mouth guard thing, you know, showing up a couple guys. You know, it is what it is. Steph is as nice as they come, really. Actually, the only great athlete that is not an asshole, I think, is, probably Roger Federer and then also Tim Duncan. There's nothing wrong to say about Tim. Tim just wants to wear, like, Echo jeans and come to the arena.
That seems fair. Wow, we're going way back. Steve Nash has got to be up there, no?
I feel like Nash had a
mean streak. Mean streak. All right. But yeah, I'm looking forward to new season of How Hungry Are You?
Yeah, we'll it's gonna be great, man. It's a couple of guests we know are coming up. I think Charlamagne, Tiffany Haddish.
Mm.
So yeah, he shot a bunch of them in the off season, as we can clearly tell. In terms of other guys that, I guess the other concern really is just that Nick ran such a short rotation.
Yes,
essentially 7.5 guys. And, you know, I thought part of the reasons why the Pelicans were able to stay in that game for so long is because they kept having guys like Josh Hart and Melly and, you know, in a different situation. Contribute. Yeah, like Nikhil Alexander-Walker, you know, those guys were able to come off the bench and make an impact. Even like a Kenrich Williams, something like that. Like, we just didn't have that. Like, it was like, and especially on a night when Serge was, or not Serge, but Mark was so ineffective, then, like, you're really down to, like, 6.5 guys.
Yeah, and
so
I think, you know, on some level, it was hard not to be surprised just because that's basically what we saw against the Brooklyn Nets.
Yep.
And obviously in that short period of time, you don't expect someone to just suddenly emerge as like, oh, yeah, all of a sudden in 3-4 days, this guy showed out. And
Yeah, for sure.
So Nurse made the point that, you know, he just really, really wants to make sure that these new faces understand just how hard the Raptors play, just how competitive they are, just how much they communicate on the defensive end, and understand the schemes on both ends of the floor. So hopefully it's just more a matter of time and getting them up to speed.
Yeah, I think Nick understands that he can't do this for more than like a month.
Yeah.
Because it's just not sustainable in the long run. That's part of the reason why D'Antoni teams don't do well in the playoffs is like he's only playing 7 for the whole year.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, what was that Lay's commercial with De Gea and Messi diving for a bag of chips?
I don't know, man.
Why the hell would Messi be diving for anything?
Hand of God?
Yeah, I guess.
Like, tribute to Maradona? I don't know.
Man. What were we talking about?
Anything for a World Cup at this point.
Oh, man. I really hope Messi wins one, but it's actually hilarious. I was in. I went to Argentina. I asked people around. They're like, yeah, it's not close, man. We love Maradona, like, so much more. There's, like, Maradona put, like, trophies everywhere, and there's, like, one little statue I saw of Messi that's, like, I don't know, Mount Ginobili had the same size statue, to put that into perspective. So, I mean, like, you know, respect Manu, but comparatively, Manu is not, like, the best basketball player of all time.
Right.
Messi is the best football player. But anyway, yeah, the rotation. I think out of all those guys at the back of the bench, obviously none of them are perfect. None of them are going to be consistent two-way contributors. But if you had to pick one, or if you had to sort of guess who could emerge as that ninth guy behind Terrence Davis, and who can maybe even emerge as the 10th guy, who do you think has the best chances at those spots?
I'm going to take a flyer on Malcolm Miller.
Okay.
All right. You know, I think Stanley Johnson has looked really, really bad.
Hey, man.
I think maybe...
look like the third grandmother.
There's a bit more...
I'm so far. You know, it can improve. It's early.
I think there's a bit more hope with Rondae Hollis-Jefferson.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And obviously he's dealing with a bit of a minor groin issue right now.
Yep.
Which is why he didn't even dress. So hopefully when he comes back from that, he can offer at least enough to spell Siakam a little bit at the four and provide an option there. But I think Malcolm has a shot. I mean, I think he's been with the team the longest out of, you know, all those guys you look at the end of the bench. Mm-hmm. And I think he has a pretty good idea of how Nick wants to play. And frankly, he's much better defender than Matt Thomas.
It's not close.
Yeah, and offers some very good shooting.
Yeah. My only thing with Malcolm is I don't feel like he imposes himself on the game. He plays so many games that he's just straight up invisible. And I'm not just saying this when he's like playing and it's like garbage time, because like whatever, you're gonna get lost in the shuffle, it's not a big deal.
Yeah,
you know, but at the same time, wow, why are they showing the miracle in Istanbul? This is great. This is a great, oh man, oh
wow.
And then the follow. Yeah. amazing night. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I'm not just saying that in terms of like, yeah, with the third unit and stuff like that, he gets lost. Mm-hmm. Oh, shout out Shevchenko, man, what a legend.
This has really been
The
Liverpool pod.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is what it is, man. Stevie G, baby. My captain.
But yeah, I think you're absolutely...
Like, even in Summer League, when he plays and he's like a starter and he's supposed to be more prominent, Malcolm still freaking fades. Or like 905 games, he just fades. Like, Bruno was probably more aggressive on offense than Malcolm. So I want to see that. Because, like, even with a guy like Thomas, he's a shooter, he spaces the floor, but he moves around. Malcolm doesn't really move around with that sort of same aggression. Maybe he's not capable of it because he's a little bit bigger, but he's just so, I don't know, it's just, he's languid, it's fluid, it's not as,
you It's
know.
Almost like he's trying to fit in too much.
Exactly, you know, he's too nice.
Exactly. And so when you look at, say, for example, with Fred and Pascal, when at the time when they had limited opportunities, you could tell every time they came into the game, it was like, I'm better than this. I deserve more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm going to show you why.
Yeah.
And so we need to see a bit. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you need to see that from Malcolm and say, hey, this is my time to shine.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I like Malcolm too. I think he's probably the closest to being a two-way guy. Right. I still like Rondé, though, just in the sense that I like that he brings a lot of energy and that he can rebound.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm not even looking for a perfect two-way player. I'm just looking at what you can do as a baseline. I'm looking at more at the baseline than the ceiling.
Yeah.
And with Rondé, he hustles, he defends, he rebounds, and he sort of he makes contributions on offense. Like, yes, he's definitely a non-shooter, and that's a big problem. But, I mean, at the same time, he's a good passer, you know. And if he could just cut down on his turnovers and play with the type of energy and intensity he can on defense, he's not a bad pack of power forward. Like, there's not nothing wrong with him. There's clear flaws. But, like, he's clearly a guy that can give you a baseline level of production. And I want to see him be a backup power forward. Because, you know what, part of it is also, I just don't want to see that much of Serge and Mark together. I don't think it's like the best unit. I think it's effective in certain matchups, but it's not something you can use against everybody, you know?
No, I agree with that. And yeah, I think ideally Rondé is someone that emerges as a consistent backup option at the four.
Yeah.
But again, he's got to earn it. All these guys have to show that they want it, that they deserve it.
Yep.
And I like that Nick is putting the onus on them and saying, hey, I'm not just going to hand it to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. You got to have standards. And that's how you – and once you win a championship as a head coach, all of a sudden you can coach harder than you could before.
Yeah.
Because before it's like, you know, it's like Kawhi being like, bro, stop telling me the story about the G League. And now he's like, you know, you either listen to me or you're going to the G League.
Yeah.
So I like this from Nurse, but I think yeah, he needs to sort of develop some of those guys. And honestly, like the hard love and things like that, like, you know, I guess you can play that game to a certain extent. You don't want to alienate a guy either. I don't think that says
no, absolutely not. Right? And also, you have to understand that not everyone operates the same way, right?
That's true. There are some guys respond that way.
Yeah, exactly. Some guys you can use the tough love. Some guys you gotta, you know, offer the shoulder.
Yeah. Before we move on to preview the rest of the games this week, where the Raptors play a back-to-back with Boston and Chicago. Dwayne Casey had some very interesting comments. Our man, Dwayne Casey. Yeah.
Speaking with Michael Lee of The Athletic.
Yeah. So Dwayne has this very, he's very, very savvy and in the sense that he knows how to always come across as a good guy. And, you know, he talked about, yeah, I was happy for them. He's like, oh, people expected me to be salty about it. But, you know, I was just happy, you know, like, you know, I know a lot of the guys there. I sent them some text messages. And you're like, oh, this is great. Like, I'm so happy you were able to feel this joy for them. And he talked about, you know, like, you know, and part of me feels like I contributed. Like, I put the foundation there. I'm like, okay, you did. Yeah. Definitely. No one could take that away from me. He's like, I developed some of the guys there. I'm like, okay, yeah, you did. Yeah, you gave some of these guys, like, you started Pascal from day one. You know what I mean? I think you wanted to start Jarrett Tellinger, but he broke his foot in Vancouver. And so, okay, so Pascal, whatever. But you know what? You developed these guys. Cool, I like that. And he's like, yeah. And then, you know, for me, it's just validating because it's the same offense and the same defense. And I'm like, at that point, I'm like, get the fuck out of here, man.
Yeah.
Like, what are you... I like Dwayne. I really did like Dwayne a lot, but like the way he sort of carried himself since, to compare him versus the way DeMar has handled himself,
yeah.
DeMar has been very vulnerable. Like, you know what? You know, I do feel kind of some kind of way about the Raptors winning the championship and not me not being there. And it's like, you understand, but he's like, the whole time he's been so happy for everybody there. He never takes away anything from it. You know what I mean? He's not out there being like, oh, you know what? You know, actually, I know Kawhi did all this stuff, but he wasn't as good of a playmaker as me. You know what I mean? And like the saltiness in which Casey sort of shows towards Nick, like you can tell it's a cold hostility. It's just like, man, it's just below you, man. Just make your money in Detroit and eat your little Caesar pizza and just, you know, like win 35 games with Joe Johnson. I guess he got cut. So Thon Maker.
Yeah.
Blake Griffin out for the first 2 weeks of the season as well.
He
Andre Drummond hitting threes.
Yeah, it's a tough look for Detroit. It's a tough look.
Sorry, it's too easy to slander Detroit.
But, yeah, I mean, with Casey, a lot of the stuff he said was definitely positive and definitely the stuff that you hoped to hear from him.
But then he had to sneak in the jab.
And the thing is, it's not the first time he's done that.
No!
Even when the first time he came to Toronto, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm seeing a lot of the same stuff I saw before.
Yeah.
I think on that level, it is a bit frustrating.
Mm.
And... you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just his way of dealing with it.
Mm.
And, you know, let's face it, at the end of the day, it's not the first time we've seen Dwayne Casey be stubborn.
Wow. I love how he's like the same offense. I'm like, you mean the offense that Nick Nurse revamped so you won Coach of the Year with?
Yeah.
That's the offense we're talking about, right? Because that's what happened, right?
Yeah. So.
Mm. And all the development that happened, I think that was in the new offense when Nick Nurse put that in. And the bench mob emerged.
You're telling me he was going to pull a box and one in the finals?
He wasn't going to box and one. He was going to box and one with CJ Miles at the top. I'm just saying, man. Like, I want to like Dwayne. I really do appreciate what Dwayne did. But the way he's handling himself since the thing, I'm just like, you're just so salty about it.
I mean, that's
right?
The thing. If he's
we don't really know what happened between Nick and Dwayne. Definitely something happened.
Yeah, because
I have no idea what exactly happened. But there's definitely a hostility. But
yeah.
I wish one of them would just come out and be in the open and say, like, you know, if Dwayne was like, honestly, Nick Nurse sold me out. He made me put Bebe into the game. Like, that wasn't Nick, by the way. It was another assistant coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, okay, if that's the case or whatever, like, he backstabbed me. He's like, okay, fine, just say it then. Just say it. But this constant, like, you know, those backhanded compliments, man, it's just...
I mean, that's the thing. We can be real about it, right? Like, when you look at, frankly, you know, the sweep at the hands of the Wizards, when you look at, you know, going seven games against a Pacers team that you probably shouldn't have gone seven games against, and when you go seven games against Miami, and then...
Bro, that Miami team... With all the injuries they had suffered earlier in the season and then throughout the series, they played Justice Winslow at center.
Right.
And Josh McRoberts.
Yeah. And then you look at the adjustments that you could sort of see right on the fly that should have been made in game. that it took maybe 1, 2, 3 games sometimes to make that adjustment.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, Casey was a great regular season coach, you know, and did a great job of maintaining a culture for all the seasons. Yeah, for all the seasons that he was here. But the playoffs were just a different beast that he couldn't handle. And again, I go back to this point. Draymond Green said there's 82 game players and there's 16 game players.
Mm.
And there's 82 game coaches and there's 16 game coaches.
Absolutely, man. Bro, Dwayne Casey's record is that he got swept 4 of the last 5 years.
Yep.
And the one year he didn't get swept, the Raptors lost that series by like 100-plus points. So that's almost a sweep.
Pretty much.
I mean, what else can you say about that? Like, anyway, so, you know, yeah, Dwayne Casey comes to town next week. That'll be interesting. In terms of the rest of the week, so the Raptors play the Celtics on Friday.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Celtics this year?
I think they're decent. Obviously, the center position is one you look at as a weakness. Mm-hmm. To go from Al Horford and Aaron Baines, you know, that is a tough look to have Enes Kanter. And, you know, but I'm interested to see where Gordon Hayward's game is at. And that there's just that overall mix of him and Brown and Tatum and how Marcus Smart emerges now in sort of a more prominent role. So I think it's going to be interesting to see. I think they'll be sort of jockeying. You know, I do expect, so in terms of the East outlook, you know, you've got Milwaukee, Philly, most likely as the top two teams.
Yep.
I do think Toronto will be the 3 seed.
Yeah,
but I then think so too. I think you've got Miami, Brooklyn, Indiana, Boston all jockeying for those next, 4 to 7 seeds.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see where they end up. Obviously, their ceiling would be, you know, 4, maybe 3.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if they finished 7th.
So, what's your scouting report on 7-foot Frenchman Vincent Poirier?
Man, I got nothing.
Isn't that sparkling water?
I don't know, man. We'll find out Friday.
Apparently. Yeah, I mean, my
Daniel matchup Theis to watch is still for, there, no?
Yeah, he's there. German McLemore.
German McLemore.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see if Hayward's healthy. I want him to be healthy.
Yeah.
Just because you never want to see a guy's career end in that way.
Yeah.
Regardless of their political leanings. But, you know, I think, honestly, for me, the most interesting matchup is the battle between Max Fords. Jaylen Brown versus Pascal Siakam. You know, is one of them a Max Ford and is another guy Harrison Barnes with a flat top? Who knows? I just want to see it, though. I just want to see it. That's all.
Yeah, that's...
I want to see the matchup. But, I mean...
What do you think Buddy Hill was thinking as soon as he saw Jaylen Brown's extension?
I'm just saying, I haven't seen someone work that hard for money before. And I have immigrant parents. I'm just like, Buddy Hield was doing so much to get that money, man. Yo, he straight up said, nobody comes to Sacramento. Nobody. Meanwhile, Harrison Barnes is like, I just came here. Corey Joseph's like, oh, word. So I'm nobody. And he's like, yeah. I mean, I think the difference with Buddy is just that, you know, his age is a big factor. You know what I mean? Like, but I mean, you know, conversely, like he's definitely a better player than Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
And
he's really more valuable in this NBA.
He is more valuable in this NBA. Although, I mean, Jaylen Brown's more of a two-way player.
Yeah.
I don't really believe in the offensive upside, but I also really do like Jaylen Brown the most out of all the Celtics. Like, he's probably my favorite one. It's not saying a lot, but, you know.
What do you make of Kemba as a Celtic?
Whatever. Like, yeah, he's just
a Raptor killer, though.
Oh yeah, definitely a Raptor killer. Like, it's gonna be a tough game. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Raptors lost. Like,
right,
it's on the road. It's the Raptors always have a hard time playing in TD Garden. I mean, even last year, remember when it was Kawhi versus Kyrie down the stretch? Kyrie had like an incredible
18
assist game.
Yeah,
it was nuts.
That was frustrating.
So,
yeah.
And they lost that game, so that's gonna be a little bit difficult. And I even think the Bulls game might be a little bit of a challenge, only in the sense that, you know, the Bulls kind of, they're not a joke team anymore.
No. I think they've got enough pieces to work with. I like Otto Porter.
Yep. Good fit for that team.
He's consistently been good against the Raptors. I mean, when the Raptors played the Wizards last time, he was hurt. But, yeah, We don't need to go back into that.
DeMarcus just couldn't do anything with him. There's nothing. Like, DeMar couldn't do anything with him. Oh, God.
Yeah. So, you know, I like Lauri Markkanen a lot.
Yeah.
I think Zach LaVine is a solid player.
Yeah,
I
he could take, like, a DeMar level leap.
Yeah.
Like, when DeMar used to be just an, like, inefficient no-defense guy. Yeah. And now he's like, oh, you know, semi-efficient and also...
With threes.
With threes and with some playmaking. Like, that's not bad at all.
Yeah.
Like, how much worse is Zach LaVine than, like, you know, CJ McCollum?
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah,
that's
CJ is, like, definitely a better shooter.
Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously Zach's way more, like, athletic.
Yeah.
Better finisher, so...
Yeah, I think CJ, I mean, based on what I've seen, I'd probably give him the edge basketball IQ-wise.
Mm.
Just a better decision maker.
Yeah.
That's
true.
And, you know, I feel like Zach LaVine is sort of like that Iverson assist guy.
Mm.
Where yeah, it's yeah. like...
You pass when you need to.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah. So...
The quiet assist. Hey, let's just be good people, you know.
But yeah, probably an X factor for them going into the season is going to be what Wendell Carter Jr. gives them.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Satoransky. But what do you like about Wendell Carter other than the fact that his head is as square as mine?
You know, I think just the fact that he can be a stabilizing force defensively. I think that's something that they really need. And so if he can be healthy and just sort of patrol the paint and sort of essentially run their defense, I think that'll make a big difference for them.
Yeah, I like him as a two-way big. I kind of see a situation playing out in a couple of years where Chicago has to pick between the two.
Yeah.
Lauri and Wendell.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like sort of what Indiana's eventually going to do with Sabonis and Turner.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd love to have either player. But, but yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tough game. I just think the Bulls, well, not necessarily a tough game, but, like, it's going to be a competitive game.
Yeah.
But the way I see it, I probably see it as 1-1.
Mm. Yeah. I think that's fair.
Most realistic outcome.
Yeah.
But it could easily be 2-0.
Yeah. Or 0-2.
Yeah. I look forward to another Kyle Lowry versus Marcus Smart matchup. Those games are always such a... It's like a sumo wrestling match with, like, regular size people.
Yeah.
No, they're just, like, so physical. They're always flopping against each other. They're, you know what I mean? Like, both of them going to score 9 points.
You know? Yeah.
I've just seen a lot of that battle over the years, man. They really go at it, and they both each are so good defensively that it cuts against.
It's okay. You got Fred to do the scoring now.
That's true. I think Marcus probably guards Fred.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
And then who's guarding Kyle? Kemba?
Yes.
I guess you got to cross match the whole thing because I want Fred guarding Kemba.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. It'll be a fun game. Well. B,
this was the fun. Podcast.
This is great.
Yeah.
We're going to go back and watch the rest of this Liverpool match now. Well, at least I am. You probably will watch something else.
Yeah.
You're not keeping a tight eye on this?
I'm probably going to check out Inter and Dortmund, go back to that maybe.
That's not a bad matchup. Inter's not bad this year. Conte's a really good coach.
I think it's the best matchup today.
Conte's really good as a coach, man.
But yeah, it's all a countdown to TFC at 7.
Oh, that's right. Give us a TFC report because...
Did you catch any of that?
The comeback?
The extra time? Man, that was crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, going up against the number one seed on the road, it's going to be tough.
That's tough.
In New York. So, but hey.
Which New York is it?
Stranger Things.
Is it Red Bull or is it FC?
I'm pretty sure it's Red Bull.
Word. Who's like the top guy on that team? Is he better than Pozuelo?
No.
Pozuelo's pretty good. I like him.
Pozuelo's really good.
Especially as an MLS player, he's pretty good.
The only thing I don't like about him is that he just gets a little too cute sometimes. Mm.
Yeah.
It's New York City FC.
Okay.
But yeah, he just gets a little too cute sometimes and tries to be, you know, twinkle toes a little too much.
Word.
So.
Is NYCFC still managed by Patrick Vieira?
Dog, I thought he got fired.
Oh, he got fired? Damn.
But, I mean, don't quote me on that. This
I'm sorry. I'm grilling you on your
This MLS is the problem, man. There's too much.
You're already watching like 10 different sports. So.
Yeah, exactly, man. You can't put that kind of heat on me.
Well.
But we're...
Yeah, man. All right. Well, you know, There's a lot to look forward to, I guess, with the Raptors. It's going to be a fun year, man. Is there anything we didn't cover?
Is there anything we didn't cover? I mean, I want to talk a little bit about just got a press release.
Contract. Oh, breaking news.
Toronto Raptors 2019 home opener is the most watched regular season NBA game ever in Canada.
Really?
No surprise. 2.6 million Canadians watched or part of the 2019-20 NBA season opener.
And they got a great game out of it.
Yeah, they did.
Wow, okay. Great. This is one of those things where it just reinforces confidence in the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, okay, there's no Kawhi. Let me see the game. And you're like, holy shit, Pascal and Fred are just killing it.
Yeah.
So, good stuff. It's exciting. And this is even without Zion, you know? The number could be
higher. What a positive note to finish on.
Yeah, definitely. There we go. Yeah, I was going to talk about Fred's contract, but, you know, we could talk about it another time. Okay. We'll see how long Fred does this for. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's going to have a great year, but I don't know if he's going to have 34 points every game. It would be nice, though.
34 is a lot.
34 is a lot. Maybe like
24?
Could be in like 18 points a game. I honestly think like Fred's year this year is going to be like a little bit like Malcolm Brogdon last year. Maybe a little bit better even, because I think Brogdon's only at like 13 points.
Mm. Yeah, he could be like a 16-5-5 guy. Well, maybe.
That's a really good player.
Yeah, yeah. 16-3-5, I guess.
Yeah.
The assist might even be higher.
Nah, people got to make shots. If Marcus Gasol's, that is, if Marcus Gasol's shooting like bank shots, like, you know.
There was that one post-up that Mark had, and he looked up at the shot clock, and it was like 4 on the clock, and he's like, all right, well.
I guess I have to shoot. And so I'm going to throw this little prayer in there. Yeah, I mean, Mark's finishing in the paint. I just don't think it's coming back, man. You know, it's just lose things with age.
Yeah, I mean, but that's also going to hinder his passing out of the post, right? Because if you're not a threat to score,
well, so many times they had the Raptors point guards are able to slip the ball to the rolling big man.
Yeah.
And it's one thing if Serge can't do it because like Serge has never really been that great of a quick decision maker.
Yeah,
but Mark is really good at being a quick decision maker, but also finishing. And he, aside from that one like N1 layup he had in overtime, he just wasn't doing anything with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And just the offense kind of stalled. So. Mark, man, please be better, man. I miss finals, Mark.
It's okay. We got time. We got time.
Yeah.
October 23rd.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. All right. Well, that's it for the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Again, there is currently a contest going on where I have copies of the Raptors official championship DVD and Blu-ray, and I'm giving those away to listeners on the podcast. So, as I said yesterday on the reaction show, what I need you to do is rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on the iTunes app store or just on iTunes. If you don't use iTunes, I'm sorry. It's, you know, it is what it is, but that is the most influential podcast market. But yeah, so rate, review, subscribe on iTunes to Raptors Over Everything. And then once you have done that, please send a screenshot of that review and also the 5 stars to my email account, which is william@raptorsrepublic.com. And I'll pick up a winner probably at the end of the week on Friday. So you have until the next 48 hours to submit something. So thanks everyone for listening. Thanks to Vivek for coming on the podcast. And catch you guys next time.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere.
acast.com.